Grace to you and peace from God, the one who makes all things and the Savior of us all. Amen. Well, the gospel lesson for today has about 29 sermons in it. So I've picked 7 to do today. Actually, it's pretty short. It begins like this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And from then, Jesus summons the 12 disciples, and they all get named off. One of the fun games that I play with the preschool kids every year in chapel is that we learn all the names of the 12 apostles. And Thaddeus always throws them for a bit of a... I get Thaddeus. I got Thaddeus. What's his name, they say? Thaddeus. But Simon and Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew throws everybody. Thomas and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot. The 12 apostles. They become the laborers who are sent out into the harvest. And so Jesus sends them out and bids them not to take an extra cloak or an extra pair of shoes. In Matthew, they can take a staff. In one of the other gospels, they can't. And they're sent out into the world to do one thing, to proclaim the word and love of God. Proclaim this good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And while you're there, cure the sick, raise the dead, no problem. Just do those other things. But go into the world. This is difficult, I think, kinds of instructions in our milieu and in our place where we live today. Most of the time, when we think about evangelism these days, we are thinking mostly about how to get, if you will pardon the slightly salty language, but how do we get more bucks in the plate and you know what in the pew? And I'm not talking about shoe polish. Isn't that right? Isn't that really when we think about evangelism these days? As a matter of fact, I had a conversation the other day with a pastor friend, and we spent probably 40 minutes talking about how is it that we can help our congregations and ourselves to be more apostle-like. And she said, you know, every single time I talk about evangelism, it always comes down in my congregation to money. And I said, really? How unusual. It always comes down, it seems, or at least often comes down to, if we could just get more people to come to our church, then our budget woes would be taken care of. We wouldn't have to have these awful meetings. Now, nowhere in this gospel lesson or any place else that I can find does it say, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations so that your pews may be filled and your plates may overflow and you won't have to have these awful meetings. It's not there. It's no wonder that when the subject of evangelism comes up in the church, we mostly run. It's really quite distasteful if all we're really trying to do is to get more members for the Christian version of the Rotary Club. Jesus summons the 12 disciples to do something particular, to announce something the world aches to hear. The kingdom of God is at hand. And all that that then means. That the trials of this world, that the pain and suffering of this time are not the end of everything. That we don't get the full meaning of everything in our life by scratching out a living in our jobs or raising our children. That somehow there is something greater and more powerful than just this flesh in which I live. And that the connections between human beings are broader and deeper and more powerful than the limited scope of my own social network. There is a connection between God and us, and between us and the rest of the world, that is informed by and fed by and lives in God's Spirit. The kingdom of God is at hand means that the present hopelessness is overcome, as it says in Paul, by hope. That the desperate are not condemned. Well, that's a very different agenda than more bucks in the plate and more butts in the pew. And frankly, far more exciting. I said to the kids a little while ago that God is sending them out as a love letter to the world. And I think that the image of a letter, you and I, as God's letters to the world, is one worthy of pondering. But it's God's letter. How many of you have ever served on a stewardship committee? Ooh, the few, the brave. I mean, the really few. Right. What about, you know what's cool about stewardship committees? You always spend most of your time crafting the letter, right? I have been on so many stewardship committees at so many different levels. I can do the letter just off the top of my head. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we give thanks for your generous giving last year. Once again, God is calling us to a powerful and beautiful mission here at Lutheran Church of Honolulu, and we enjoin you to become a part of that in a fuller and more powerful way. In order for that to happen, we ask you to once again consider prayerfully, sorry, we have to take that right, the obligatory prayerfully consider increasing your gift of last year by 1%. And in this way, our church, together with the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, will fulfill our mission in this place and in this time. We give you thanks, prayerfully yours, the stewardship team of Lutheran Church of Honolulu. At the end, you hope they know you want something. What's great and wonderful about God's letter is that God doesn't want anything but to love us. That's the sum of God's stewardship. That God would love us so much that God would send God's only Son to die, that we might not only be redeemed, but to live in hope. And in the same way, God sends every one of us out into the broken world that Paul describes in Romans, and gives us the Holy Spirit in the way that Paul describes in Romans, because hope does not disappoint us, and God does not disappoint us. But God has poured God into our hearts for the sake of the world. And so my question for us as God's people in this place is, what would it take for you to be willing to be sent. What would it take for you to be willing to be God's letter to the world? Amen.